thank you all for coming this evening. Thank you back to your seats. So bring your friends along to Kelburn. And the more you bring along, the better it will be for them and for us, and for you as well. So thank you for listening to the first part of the presentation. I certainly found it very interesting. I'm not a scientist by any means. I didn't do science at school. I opted out of it because I just haven't got a brain for science. And I never went to university, so it's quite a threat even to be here this evening in a university place of learning when I have very little of it myself. But one thing I am going to say to you this evening is that I believe God. And I believe the record of the Bible. And I believe the verses being quoted to us this evening that God has said, God has spoken, and in Genesis 1, verse 1, I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So, it hasn't always been like that for me, so I'm going to just say one or two things about myself. It was a privilege for me to be born in a home where the Bible was read and the Lord Jesus was known, and I count that as a great privilege. But that didn't make me a Christian. There was a time, you know, and I'm going to say this to you shamefully tonight, there was a time that I went upstairs to the room that I shared with my brother, and my dad had been speaking to me about the things of the Bible. And I suppose I was about 9 or 10, and I jumped upon my bed, and I had a great big panda bear at the time, and I hooked my panda bear, and I jumped to my bed, and I said, I'm having nothing to do with that lot. In other words, I was going to have nothing to do with God or the things of the Bible. But I thank God that things changed. And as I said to you tonight, that whilst I didn't go to university, so I've not got any BA or MA or PhD or, I don't know how they go, Bachelor of Engineering, BEng. I can put all of those letters after my name and make them mean something totally different. And you might laugh at me for saying it, but I'm very proud of these qualifications that I've got. And whilst I never went to university, that means I have free education as well. And all the things that I've got tonight that I can talk to you about are the things that I have as a free gift from God. So the first BA, not a Bachelor of Arts, but it was that I am born again. And it all happened on the 2nd of February 1975. When I was a boy of 11, I heard the message of salvation from the Bible. And I believed it. And that's where it all started, and that's where it all continued. And I can tell you tonight that I'm the happiest man I could ever be, because I know that I am born again, born of God, born from above. And I'm on my way to heaven, I know where I'm going. And I know my Maker, I'm ready to meet him. And I have no fear of death. That's my BA. On the same night as I qualified for a BA, I qualified for an MA. Not a Master of Arts, but I was made acceptable. That's my MA, I was made acceptable in the Beloved. You know, there was a time that I wasn't fit for heaven. I was just a wretched sinner on my way to hell and to lost eternity. But the night that I was born again, I was made acceptable in the Beloved. There's nothing about me that was acceptable at all, but the Lord Jesus that I trusted for salvation made me acceptable in him. And that was a great joy, you know, to have that assurance that you're accepted by God in the Lord Jesus. So my next degree that I got, not through university, I've got no certificate for it, but I do have a BEng. You say, what's he coming up with now? It wasn't a Bachelor of Education. But you know, on that same night, on the 2nd of February 1975, I had my BEng degree. My name was written in the book of life. So it's being written, and it was written indelibly. So I'm going to use the initials ENG, the word that starts engineer, the letters that start engineering, and I say that night my name was being engraved into the Lamb's book of life. On our little pamphlet, we said that we might talk to you about certain things. And one of the things that our pamphlet says on the back, and I was just reading it yesterday, just to make sure I knew where I was going, it says on there that we will talk to you perhaps some of the things about being sure that you can be eternally secure and eternally safe and know the blessing of eternal salvation. Well, I know that tonight. And it was, you see, the fact that the day that I was born again, the same day that I was made acceptable in the Beloved in the Lord Jesus, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was engraven there, never to be erased. I love the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10 when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He speaks about his sheep being in his hand. So think of the hand of Christ and his own sheep, those that are his, being in his hand. And then he said, "Enough, not enough security." He says, "My hand is in the Father's hand. I give unto them eternal life," he says, "and they shall never perish." I'm quite illiterate in languages, so I don't know anything about Greek, but they tell me that in the Greek, the word "never perish" is a double negative. And I did learn from school that a double negative is a strong positive. So the verse could literally be read like this: "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, never perish." I love my qualifications, you know. I didn't work for them. I got them as a free gift by believing on the Lord Jesus. I was born again. I was made acceptable in the Beloved. And my name was written in the Book of Life, being there engraved indelibly. I'm not going to talk about a PhD. I think that's going a bit too far. David Montgomery's got one of them. All I remember was that as a student he worked quite hard for it. And I'm not going to be working hard, so I'm not going to talk to you about having a PhD or anything like that. Actually, I can't think of anything to get the letters to. That's far too beyond me. So that's a little bit about myself. And we want to just tell you this evening, as we're here tonight from the Gospel Order up the Hill Street, just a simple group of Christians that just believe the Word of God, believe it from cover to cover, believe in the God of the Bible, believe in the Saviour that was sent to be the Saviour of the world. I want us just to speak of a few more things, just following on what David has said this evening. You know, if we're told something, then I trust we have our ears open to listen to it. I think some students go to lectures and they just fall asleep in the back. But you know, that's not too bad when your lecturer speaks to you, because it doesn't really matter with big scale of things. But I want to speak to you very seriously tonight that when God speaks, it does matter. We do need to pay attention. We do need to sit up and listen, as it were. And when God says something in his word, he means what he says, and he says what he means. And as we've presented to you tonight the fact that the creation shows to you that there is a creator, the creation in all its complexity shows to us that there's a deliberate designer. Not only is he a creator, as we've already heard tonight, he's the one that sustains things and keeps things just where they are. I was just reading yesterday afternoon, you know, about our planet Earth. And we touch upon some of those things this evening. It's the only planet in which you'll find life, you know. Missions are sent here, there, everywhere at the cost of thousands of millions, hoping to find life on other galaxies and planets. Never found anything yet, never will. You see, the Bible, reading the Bible makes you the most intelligent person on Earth. And so when the Bible says in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we saw the verse on our screen a little while ago, it says tells us there that in the beginning God created the heaven and the planets and the earth. No, it doesn't say that. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now I'm going to say something about God in a little while. There is one God. And yet that word that appears there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God, the Hebrew language for God there, isn't singular, it isn't two, it is plural, it is three or more. So the one God is represented in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One isn't superior to another, one isn't inferior to another. They're all equal and yet one at the same time. In the beginning, the God of the Bible, the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created a singular act. The heavens, they are in the dual. Shall I tell you tonight, there are three heavens. There is one that is the dwelling place of God. There are the heavens that are just around me a few feet above my head. where I find the air to breathe. The components of that air are such that I can live and life can be sustained. We've thought about that already. So there's the atmospheric heaven around me. And then, in the beginning, God created the heaven, not the dwelling place of God, because God is eternal. That wasn't created. But God created the atmospheric heavens and the heavens around us in which all the planets and the stars are found. Interesting, isn't it? That the Earth, our planet Earth, is seen distinct and different from all the rest, and it is. I say again, it's the only planet on which life is found. Send your probes to the outermost parts of the universe to try and find life, and you'll find none. It's all here. Because God placed life upon planet Earth. So, tonight, we're going to tell you a little bit about that God that made it. We're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves that live on it, the Earth. And we want to tell you this evening, in a most wonderful thing, that the God of heaven wants to have fellowship with us, and he wants to be near to us. We have quoted to us already this evening the verse from the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I want to show you tonight that we can back up everything we say from the Word of God. As I said, we believe it from cover to cover. It's all there, and we believe every word. So in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God had created the heavens and the earth, and in these six little days, he filled that earth and the heavens around us. In verse 26 of Genesis 1, we read these words. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." I perhaps hear you say that bad English. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." It's not bad English at all. I've already told you something about the character of God and how he's represented. One God in three persons. So the one God of eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So it's us and our, not I and mine. And I'm going to quote you another verse that's found in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, two verses. "There is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." I'm going to come back to that verse at the end. But that's not a contradiction you see in Genesis chapter 1, where we read that God is one and yet in three persons. There is one God, that is true. And yet that God has been manifested in the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. Now, we are made, that verse tells us, we mankind, womankind, are made in the image and the likeness of God. So what does that mean? Well, it certainly doesn't mean in a physical sense. You and I are in bodies. Some younger than others, some older than others. But we're in a house, as it were, we're in a body. So it's not thinking about our physical form, that we're in the likeness and image of God. No, not at all. The Bible will tell us in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit. You can't see God in a little human body like we have. That's God the Father, you can't. But how wonderful that God has been manifested in his Son. And he was the image of God, and yet was here upon earth. More of that later. So we're not thinking about us being made in the image and likeness of God as to physical form. I want to suggest in some ways that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Now we're found tonight in the hub, in the centre of Coventry University. Some of the audience tonight are already students here, and some have been through this university, and it's a great place of learning. That's my little advertising tonight for the university. I won't be giving any more. But it's a great place of learning. But you know, we are made in the image and likeness of God in just this fact that intelligently and mentally we have been given what is the very character and essence of God himself. So we have inventors, we have designers, we have those that discover, we have those that compose, we have those that write, and we could go on and on and on. And where did all this intellect and intelligence come from? It came from an intelligent God and an intelligent maker. So that was the way that we're made in the image and the likeness of God as to our intelligence. We are different, you see, from the animal creation around us. However much you love your pet cat or dog, they don't have the intelligence that you and I have, despite what people try and tell you when they talk about their wonderful pets, about how intelligent they are. They might be in a certain way, but never can rise to the intelligence that God has put in the heart of man. So that's the first way. Intelligently and mentally, with the capacity to learn. I suggest to you in another way, and perhaps a very striking way, it is morally. God created mankind in righteousness, in perfect innocence, to reflect God's absolute holiness. We need to remember that is the character of God, and it's unchanging. God is righteous in all his ways, just in all his doings. And you know, the God of all the earth does do right and will do right, and he is righteous in every way. But you say, but I'm not righteous, and that will be true, and I'll come on to that later. But you know, one thing that he has given us, and David mentioned about this, he has given us a conscience, so that we do know the difference between right and wrong. Children never taught to do wrong, you know that, don't you? They do it naturally, because we all have a sinful nature, and I'll tell you more about that later. But you know, whenever a child does anything wrong, and I've had three of them to know about it, they look at you in the face and they tell you by their very action that they know they've done wrong. If they break something and they do something that they shouldn't have done, they know they've done wrong. And they look at you. Will you punish them or will you not? So morally, we've been made in the image and the likeness of God, and God is righteous and God is holy. You know, no wonder that man is the crown of God's creation, because in six literal days God made the heavens and the earth, and on the sixth day he filled the earth, and he had that earth complete with the absence of one thing. It was a man to be in the garden with God, and for that man God made a woman too. You know the story, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. After the end of every day, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, God said about his creation that he looked at it, and he said it was good. He didn't say that on the sixth day. He went to a next level. He had made man in his own image and likeness, and on that day, God said it was very good. Man is the crown of God's creation. And remember that. Morally, we are made in the image and likeness of God, and we have a conscience to know what is right and wrong. There could be other things I could say about ways that which we're made in the image and likeness of God. I'm going to conclude my thoughts in this respect by just saying it's in the social realm. Socially. We were made for fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. I'll say it again. We were made to have fellowship with God and with each other. When God made Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, God said of that man, it is not good for the man to be alone. God said, I'm going to make someone else. I've made the man in my own image and likeness. I'm going to now make someone that is suitable for him, compatible for him, and someone that will live with him so that they might not be alone. Let us make man, God says, but then he says it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a help, meet, suitable for him. And he made Eve as well. So intellectually, mentally, morally, socially, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Do you remember just a couple of minutes ago, I said to you that God was represented, one God in three persons. Here's another way that we're made in the image and likeness of God. As God is one and represented in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we are represented in three distinct parts. Body, soul, and spirit. I said to you at the start, when I talked to you about the ways in which we're made in the image and likeness of God, I said it wasn't physically, because God doesn't possess a body. And he doesn't. God is a spirit. But you and I do possess the body. We know only too well, we saw a little picture there of a little child born. But you know, it's not too long before we get into teenage years. We go through university life and we're into our 20s, and then we're into our 30s, and then we're into our 40s, and we start to think about our retirement, and then our 50s, and then 60s, and the life is done. Very soon passing away. Incidentally, you know, our Bible tells us very great words of wisdom. It tells us that our lives, in the vastness and the expanse of eternity, are just like the breadth of your hand, compared with the great eternity. The Bible says about our lives, you know, they're just like the steam that appears from the kettle. You read about that in the book of James in the New Testament. Our life is just a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. So our lives in our bodies are very short-lived. 70 years, the Bible says, 70 years and 10. Not far out, is it? We are, as a result of advanced medicine, able to sustain life sometimes to the 80s. But you know, I sometimes do wonder what sort of life people live after they've gotten into their 80s and into their 90s. Have good life, but some of them, you know, it's quite miserable years, and the Bible actually talks about that. You know, I just look and see tonight, the Bible is true, and the Bible is a book that can be trusted. All these words of wisdom that we get out of the Bible, you know, they're written far long before you were taught them by your parents in the classroom. So our lives consist of the body, the temporary part of us. But then there's two parts of us that are eternal, the soul and the spirit. Now, as I said to you earlier, I'm not a very educated person. And I think you could ask very top theologians, and they would have difficulty giving you an exact difference between the soul and the spirit. So I'm not going to attempt to give you a profound answer, because I think the two are very closely related. But the way it appeals to me, just like this simply, is that the soul is who we are. Our mind, our conscience, our will, our emotion, our thinking. One thing is true about our spirit, and that is this. It's the ability to have a relationship with God, who himself is a spirit. I know God tonight through the indwelling Holy Spirit that resides in me, and I got it the day that I got saved, on the 2nd of February 1975. God indwelt me by his Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit is my spirit witnesses with me that I am a child of God. So that's another way that we're made in the image and likeness of God. One God in three persons, one human being with those three distinct parts. But you know, with that comes a great message of warning and challenge. If we've been made, and David touched upon it earlier, if we've been made, and we have been, in the image and the likeness of God, then there's one thing that is true. We are accountable to our Maker. And in the New Testament, in the book that the author, apart from knowing that he's God, the Holy Spirit, the natural man that put it together, we don't know his name, is often referred to as the letter to the Hebrews. The writer to the Hebrews is how the Christians often refer to it. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him, notice these words, with whom we have to do. If God made us, and God made us body, soul, and spirit, the soul and the spirit are the parts of us, the eternal parts of us, that belong to God. So in Ezekiel chapter 18 in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, God says through the prophet Ezekiel, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I said to you earlier about having God made man in the Garden of Eden. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and we read these words, and he became a living body. No, he became a living soul. God breathed his own breath into him. He became a living soul. I was starting to understand something about the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of order, the God of design, the God that sustains everything, the God that made you and I. We are accountable to him. If you just go home with one thing in your head tonight, just remember this. You're accountable to God, your maker. And that God who is our maker, he sees everything. Go back to that verse I quoted to you from Hebrews 4, verse 13. All things are naked, opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God is all seeing, he's all knowing. And I ask you tonight, expose your own hearts in the presence of God and say, what does God see in me? Does he see something that resembles him? In holiness? In righteousness? In fellowship with him? As he made us to be? Oh, you say, I don't even know he exists. I trust you do. Let me tell you this. Twice over, God will tell us in his word, is the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14, verse 1, and Psalm 53, verse 1. Don't tell me there's no God, and tell me that you're raised in a place of learning like Coventry University, to have such a notion in your mind that there is no God. The God of the Bible says that's a foolish notion, and it is the fool that has said such a thing. We are all accountable to our Maker. And God sees us, and God knows us, and he sees us just as we are. So does he see me in righteousness? No, he doesn't. So what's gone wrong? Does he see me in fellowship with him? No, he doesn't. So what's gone wrong? It all happened in the Garden of Eden, you know, when sin came into our world and made a whole mess of everything. Now, let's talk about something about us. I'm conscious of the time that's moving away, but David was very gracious. He only spoke for 20 minutes. So, let's think about something about us. The Bible tells us about ourselves. You know, the Bible is like a mirror. It's a very polished mirror. It actually doesn't just show you what you are on the outside, it actually goes beyond the skin. And it goes right through the innermost beings of our hearts and our thoughts. And our actions and our motives, and it exposes everything about us. And as I've asked you to challenge your own heart tonight, what does he see? Well, I tell you how God spoke through the prophet Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. That we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The prophet Isaiah saw the fact that life comes and starts and it ebbs away and we just fade away like the wind. And our iniquities have taken us away. Taken us away from what? Taken us away from who? Taken us away from God our Maker. You know that very day that sin entered into our world? When God came down in the garden to Adam and Eve, as he always did customarily each day, the day that Adam and Eve sinned, he didn't find them just as they were before. Why? They were hiding. They couldn't tolerate the presence of God in their midst. And God had to say, Adam, where are you? And he says, I'm here, I'm hiding away. I heard your voice in the garden, I was afraid. I knew that I'd done wrong, I knew that I'd sinned and disobeyed. And you know, that very day God drove him out of the garden. He drove him out from his presence. And that's just what this means here by the prophet Isaiah, that we're all as an unclean thing, our righteousness is, the best that we can do is like loads of filthy, dirty rags in the presence of God. We all fade like a leaf. Death came in as a result of sin, you know, the Bible says that. And our iniquities, like a wind, have taken us away from God. What a day it must have been before sin came in. When man and woman could live forever and never die. That was possible, you know. God made Adam in his own image and likeness. He could have lived forever had not sin come into our world. The human breath is always very busy. Just as the hospital and the maternity ward is very busy with babies arriving, so at the other end of life, the undertaker is very busy as bodies going out. It's a constant move around of people, and it all happened because of sin. Wherefore, as by one man, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. I'm going to leave you now with just three very pithy statements from the Word of God, from the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, that man that David told you about, was once a Christian hater that became a preacher of the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle says, quoted from the Old Testament, there's none righteous, no, not one. In verse 11, he says, there's none that seek him after God. Remember what I told you? We don't naturally want fellowship with him. We want to be as far away from him as possible. Put him out of our thoughts and put him out of our minds and put him out of our understanding. We don't want to face God, but we have to. We must. There is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What a disaster. We are not in the image and likeness of God now, you know. God is light. God is light. The very first thing that God made on creation's day, you know, God said, let there be light. And there was light. They won. That's the very character of God. God is light. So I read about that in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light, and in him is there no darkness at all. I read another writing of John. There's five books in the Bible written by John. Three letters, one gospel, and the Revelation. I read in the Gospel of John these words in chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. You know, when you do wrong, you don't want to get found out. So you do things in the darkness, hoping not to be seen and noticed. God sees. God is light. That light is all searching. That light is all penetrating. And we don't want to be exposed before the light. It reveals everything about us. You know, the light in here is a bit gloomy tonight. I can't see whether you're smiling or whether you're asleep. I really can't. The light is gloomy. Well, if you put the spotlights on, that will reveal everything about you. And I will certainly see if any of you are going to have a little snooze. Push you both. So the character of God we've seen. The character of ourselves, but then this wonderful thing. You know, that's why we're here tonight. Because we want to tell you of this, that God has revealed himself. Though God's nature and ours are totally opposed to each other, totally different from each other, the God of the Bible wants to make himself known to us. And he did in the person of the Lord Jesus. David quotes to us from John Gospel chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, the name for God. In the beginning was the Word, the name for the Lord Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go down to verse 14 of John chapter 1, you read these words. And the Word was made flesh. He took upon himself that which he'd never taken before. He took upon himself flesh and blood, just like you and I have. And we're soon to remember Christmas. The shops are telling us that Christmas is getting near. I was just looking on Saturday. The Christmas trees are appearing, the decorations. Oh dear, dear, dear. But you see, well, the wonderful truth of it is this, that we must celebrate the fact the Lord Jesus came to earth and he was born to be the Savior. God was manifest in flesh. That's the wonder of it all. And why was that so? that he might reveal himself to us. Take a body of flesh and blood like yours, yours and mine. I tell you this, it was totally different. There was no sin in him at all. And the man that was born, Jesus, the carpenter's son, the man that was born, Jesus of Nazareth, is the man that went to a cross of Calvary and died for our sins. That brings me back to that verse that I said, I will finish at the end, and I will keep my promise. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. There is one God, the God with whom we all have to do. There is one God, but listen to these delightful words. And there is one mediator. So God who is light, and me living in darkness. There is one that stands between the two of us. A mediator. One that can represent God, and one that can represent me, and more than that, one that can put his hand on me and upon his hand upon God and bring the two of us together. I find that an amazing truth. You know, the God who is light is the God who is love. And you read about that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. And we see God's love demonstrated in the sending forth of the Lord Jesus. There is one God. He wants to be made known to us. There is one mediator. There's one that can put his hand upon God and his hand upon me and bring me to God. Thank God for that. There is one mediator between God and man. Who is it? There's only one. There's one God. There's one mediator. The Bible says that one mediator is the Lord Jesus. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man. Isn't that a great mystery? That God was represented in human form in the Lord Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. It doesn't finish there. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Calvary's cross is for the sinner. The place of refuge. The place of forgiveness. The place of finding peace with God. You know, I knew it as a boy of 11 on the 2nd of February 1975. As I said to you at the beginning, when I was born again, when I was made accepted in the Beloved, when I had, by grace, my name written in the Book of Life. My name was there being written indelibly engraved in the Book of Life, never to be erased. And it all came by placing faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. To realize that before God I was a sinner and I was going down to heaven and I needed salvation. I'm going to see if I can just get that next slide there. We'll talk about this more on the subsequent nights. I'm not going to say very much about it. But if you look to your left, you'll notice that there's a broad way. And you'll notice that that broad way goes through death, and it goes beyond death into hell, and beyond hell into the lake of fire. That's the road in which we all sadly started out. And you have no choice in that matter. It all happened because of our forefather Adam. And what he did in the Garden of Eden. Sorry, dear friends, it's all down to that man. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That all have sinned. But can you see just a little way along that broad road? There's a finger pointing to a door. And on that door, they're written the words John chapter 10, verse 9. And I'm going to quote that verse to you. Jesus said, I am the door. By me. By me. By me, was it? By the Lord Jesus, no one else. By me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. On the 2nd of February 1975, I went through that door. It's a one-way door. It shuts tightly behind you, and you'll never ever get lost. You'll never ever be out of the way. You'll always be saved and on your way to heaven and on to joy and on to happiness. May God bless you all with salvation tonight. Thank you very much for listening. And please come back on future nights. Bring others along as well. We shall be here Mondays and Friday if the Lord. As we said, there are opportunities for you to ask questions. There's a question box here on the table. There's some sheets there if you want to leave any questions. Put the contact details if you want, an email address, a telephone number. We shan't pass it on to anyone else. We shall just keep it securely and just correspond with you. We won't pass it on to anyone else. If you want any help in any particular way, talk to us afterwards by all means. There are some Gospels here. The Gospel of Mark is missing. That's just because we haven't got one. Some Gospels. There's some magazines about creation, various pamphlets, and you're very welcome to take them. And if we can be of any help to any, then we will be happy to talk to you.